This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Right, good morning, everyone. Great to see you. Welcome to everyone joining us online and on the podcast or in the parents' room as well. One of my vivid memories as a child was thumbing through an old newspaper or paper called The Trading Post. Any Trading Post lovers here? Yeah. So for anyone under the age of 40, let me explain. It's kind of like if you mix together eBay, Etsy, Facebook Marketplace, and Depop all in one, and you had it in paper form. That's kind of what it was like. You were able to go through and it had sections of like people selling random stuff, and then there was always the car section, and there was a couple, very few photos, mostly just text. And I learned a couple of things from my dad with regard to the Trading Post. He always used to keep one about a month late, like just a month old, and then ring and just try and jag a deal for someone who like was still trying to sell their thing, just hoping that the month lag was going to make him kind of like a bit softer to his lowball offers. Yeah, so lowballing was still a thing. Is it available? All that kind of stuff. That was all still part of the deal. But one of the phrases that will always stick with me is the phrase, if it seems too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true, right? Because sometimes you read these things, you even see it now. You're sitting there, you're killing some time, you're on Facebook Marketplace, you're looking at, I don't know, recovery, like leg socks, or I don't know, it's like a random item that you don't really need. You know, you're looking for a massage chair, or you're looking for, I don't know, a new car or an old car, and you're sitting there and you're looking through and you think to yourself, oh yeah, I've got a deal. But if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. Now, when we come to the story of the resurrection, what if just this once, the best news imaginable is actually true? What if just this once, something that seems too good to be true actually is? Let's read these three texts back to back. 1 Thessalonians, Romans, then the book of John, and then we'll talk about what we're going to do today. First one, for they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. In Romans 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And then from the Gospel of John, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about his body. The title of the message today is He is Risen Indeed. And we're going to look at the resurrection from three different perspectives. We're going to look at the resurrection from the outside and actually inquire and see, is it true? Then we're going to look at it from the inside out and we're going to say, well, if it's true, what might that mean for us? And then thirdly, we're going to look at it from the top view, from God's perspective and see what God is doing and what role does God play in the resurrection as well. And after we've done all of that, we're going to then make some application and see what it might mean for us. Because I think there is a few of us in the room today, you're here and you've said to yourself, I don't even know if the resurrection's actually historical fact. I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it can be believed. And that is fair enough, right? It's 2,000 years ago. It is an absolutely remarkable and in some ways unbelievable story. That someone who could be dead for 3 days comes back to life, living again, breathing, walking around, moving around, right? That's wild. Some of us are in there, and then the others of us, you're like, oh yeah, I'm very comfortable with the resurrection having taken place, but I'm not really sure what it now means for my life. And we're going to talk about that as well. So here's where we're going to begin, because this is the most shocking claim in history, but it's also the most hopeful. Absolutely shocking. Now, if you had this experience, or you had a friend who was dead and you went and you saw them dead, and then a couple of days later, you heard from their parents or from one of their other friends that they were back alive and walking around. Then you went around to their place for breakfast. Yeah, you'd be... There's a laugh there because it's like, oh, well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? It would probably make the news, that one, right? Something that's going on at that level. Absolutely shocking, but also the most hopeful. So let's have a look at it. Let's look at it from the outside in. What are the evidences that we have from Scripture and from documentation that surrounds Scripture? What are the evidences for the resurrection? Let's take a look at them. The first one is this: Jesus' post-mortem appearances. He appeared to over 500 people after he was risen, after he came back from the dead. Paul said that he appeared to over 500 people, but on this particular occasion here in John chapter 21, Jesus appears to them. He's on a beach. He's cooking fish over some coals, cooking his disciples breakfast. Now, if Jesus is there with them, speaking to them, eating food, yes, that's really him. 500 people saw him over a course of time between his resurrection date and his ascension date. There are a group of people who were captured with his reappearance. Even in this passage in John 21, this was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So we have eyewitness testimony of Jesus up and walking around. Secondly, we have the witness at the tomb of the women. Now, in the ancient Near East, in Bible times, if we were trying to cook up a good story, right? We were trying to make something super believable, watertight, absolutely impervious to any poking and prodding or questioning. You know what we'd do? We would say, yes, Jesus rose from the dead, but we would make the first people at the tomb men. Why? Well, because when it comes to court, they're able to actually give testimony. Women are not. In this day and age, in this time, in ancient Near East, in these Bible times, a woman's word was not counted as sufficient to be able to give testimony in court. It was not to be believed. And so if we were trying to cook this story up, the first person that we have furthest away from the tomb as the eyewitnesses are women. Yet the Bible says quite happily that it was women who were first at the tomb, first to see that Jesus wasn't there, and then charged with the ones who were the first ones to utter the good news that Jesus is alive to his disciples. Remember, they're all run off and scared. And so women here are the first ones who were given the responsibility and the privilege to declare what we're declaring today. He is risen indeed. So funnily enough, it makes a strange but beautiful case for the resurrection, because if it was a lie, you wouldn't put them there. What else? Thirdly, there is the belief of the early church. Every single one of Jesus' disciples, with the exception of Judas, went to death for their faith. And they went to death with the words of Jesus' resurrection on their lips. Now, you've got a group of scared men huddled up in a locked room, worried about the religious leaders of their day. Jesus walks in, says, "Peace be with you. Touch my hand, touch my side." You know, they eat together, they spend some time together. And what happens to those disciples? Their life is transformed. We see them on Pentecost, completely different people. Every single one of them would die for the claim that Jesus rose again. Now, why would you do that? All of them. Surely one of them would break and go, you know what? Some of my other buddies, they all died for this, but I just can't do it anymore. I won't break. You know, I can't. But to the last man, there is a belief here in something so rock solid. And then finally, there's the empty tomb. We have to do something with this. Historians have to do something with this, that on Sunday morning, they went to the tomb where they laid Jesus' body. And we know that his body was laid there. And guess what? On Sunday morning, the stone wasn't there and Jesus wasn't there. In fact, the religious leaders of the time knew this and they admitted to this, which is why they had to make up the story. Oh, his disciples came and stole him. They admit to the fact that the tomb was empty. What if the tomb was empty and the stone was rolled away, not so that Jesus could get out, but so the world could look in? Have a look. He is not here. So that's what it looks like from the outside. There are four kind of evidences historically for the resurrection of Jesus. And I'm hoping that by talking those through, you might be convinced of its reality. Now, there's also some other things here that makes the resurrection really, really significant if we look at it from the inside out rather than from the outside in. What does it mean? How do we experience it? Because faith is not just something that's examined, it's something that's experienced. A lot of us, and a lot of you might have, with a faith in Jesus, would say, I know God is real, or there's something that happens in me, not just something that happens around me. The first thing is that it vindicates Jesus' claims. The resurrection's important is because it vindicates his claims. Jesus, he was declared to be the Son of God in the power, Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. If there was no resurrection, Jesus was lying. And as Beck has already pointed out to us, our faith is futile. But if he was raised from the dead, it means we have to take his words very seriously. Who are you going to believe? You know, I'm listening to a guy who's come back from the dead. Do you know what I mean? Someone dies and then 3 days later comes back and you're having breakfast with them. I'm taking notes. What happened? Where did you go? What's the secret of life? How do I, you know, help me? You've learned of something here. There is something about who you are and your authority if even death obeys you. It's really good, man. And this is what's beautiful, because it opens the way of resurrection for us. The second one, it opens the way to resurrection for us. 1 Corinthians 15, in fact, if Christ has been raised from the dead, Beck read this to us this morning, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, and also in Christ shall all be made alive. This is my hope, my friends. that death does not have the final word, that there is something else beyond, that even if I'm to drop dead right now, please, Lord, make it not happen. But if it does, you might be sad for an instant, maybe a little bit shocked. Oh my gosh, you know, potentially also make the news, right? But but at the other side of that, you're going to be like, it's all good. We'll see Matt again someday and it's going to be okay. And probably, guess what? I'll still be preaching about it. I'm still going to be talking about it, right? Because there'll be breath in my lungs. There'll be life in my body and it's not the end. There is a new day for those who are in Christ. Because Jesus was raised, we inherited sin from Adam. We inherit resurrection from Jesus. It is the great, great, great Christian hope that has been with us for thousands and thousands of years. Because the tomb was empty, guess what? This life is not the end, my friends. It's just the beginning. And it completes, thirdly, the work of the cross. Romans says, Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So the cross without resurrection is a tragedy. Do you know there were many, many messiahs who claimed at Jesus' time, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one who's come to save the world. I'm the one who's the one who was to come. You were expecting me. And guess what happened? They were all crucified, but only one of them came back to life. And so there's a tragedy for every single other one who's crucified as a criminal, except for one. And that one is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. He's raised to new life and completes the work of the cross. Together, the cross and the resurrection, that's the gospel. The empty tomb is the receipt that the debt of sin has been paid in full. It's the receipt. Check the receipt. Remember, you take something back and they say, do you have the receipt? Back to the shops, you take it back. You can't really take it back on eBay and you definitely cannot take things back on Facebook Marketplace and you probably couldn't take things back at Trading Post either. But you look for the receipt to say it was done. And so when the enemy says to you, this is all that life is, there is nothing else. There is no hope. It's all game over after this. You know what I say? Check the receipt, bro. Check the receipt. Let's go and talk to Jesus about whether this is it. Because he's alive right now, and he's talking right now, and he's living right now, and he's speaking right now. And guess what? That's where those who are in faith, that's the destiny for you. Resurrection's not just resuscitation. Sometimes that's what gets talked about here. Oh, he came back. He kind of was resuscitated for a little while. We don't see that in the gospel. We see Jesus resurrected, new body, new life. He's whole and he's holy. Never to die again. It's not just resuscitation, it's transformation. Okay, thirdly, and finally, as we look at it from above. So we've looked at it from the outside. Oh, what's going on? Are there things, evidences? We've looked at it from the inside, looking out, like, oh, what significance is this? And now I want to look at it from above, from God's perspective. What's the Father, Son, and Spirit doing inside of resurrection story? Well, the Father raises Jesus. God the Father, 1 Thessalonians 1, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. So Thessalonians says the Father raised the Son, and that's Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. So the Father, who Jesus lives in such close relationship with in his earthly life, I only do what I see the Father doing. Father, this is my purpose. This is my design. You've sent me to accomplish this task. And the Father then raises Jesus from the dead. This is what's happening from heaven. Secondly, the Son raises himself. Bit of a weird one. Except that it's what Jesus says. In John 2, that verse we read at the start, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they say, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple And you're going to raise it up in 3 days? And Jesus, and then John steps back and says, but the temple he was talking about was his body. And thirdly, the Spirit raises Jesus. If the Spirit of him who raised, how's that? The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit. So the whole Trinity is present in the resurrection. The Father vindicates, the Son conquers, and the Spirit breathes new life. Theologians talk about the Trinity being this dance of love, a dance of community. And we see that dance happening here in the resurrection story as the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all involved in resurrection life. Which means perhaps there is this strange and beautiful invitation for them to be also involved in the dance of resurrection in your life and mine. Because we can think about the resurrection as an event to admire. Oh, what a story. It's great. It's historical. It sits back there in time and we can think about it. It separates our, you know, our chronology, BC, AD. It separates all of that. But it can be this thing that sits back in there. But it's time to step into its transformation now beyond the information of it. Because if Jesus is alive, everything changes. And so let's make some application points to this now. The first one is this. If Jesus is alive, my friends, here we go. There is hope. There is hope. We live in a world that is strangely tired. Tired, anxious, medicated, scrolling, searching. We've never had more comfort and less peace. We've never been more comfortable. And yet, strangely, we've never been more anxious. But there's hope. Into that comes the resurrection. This beautiful promise that there is hope. You're never as stuck as you feel, my friends. It's never as bad as you think it is. The rock bottom, guys, is not the end of the road. Because Jesus, in his death, was rock bottom. And yet he shows us it's not the end of the road. Guys, the tomb is proof that God does his best work in the dark. And some of us are in the dark today. And you think, man, it's over for me. Things didn't work out how I thought they were going to. My relationships are in a mess. My career didn't work out how it was meant to. Hey, listen, God does his best work in the dark. There is the promise today and the hint today that God might be working something in those dark places to bring new life. Stop agreeing with despair. Stop agreeing with it, oh, it's all over, it's all bad. Stop agreeing with that. There is a promise that's thousands of years old that will say that there's new life. Jesus didn't just rise then, he's raising you now. Secondly, there's courage that can be had today. We're trained to conceal, to hide, to conserve, to hold back, to stay neutral or stay quiet, don't stand out, don't cost. But I love it because the resurrection biblically produced witnesses, not spectators. Witnesses. Not people who just stood back and went, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. But witnesses ones who stepped in and then started to declare it. Hey, guess what? You know, that this has been the message of the church for thousands of years. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Over and over and over and over. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You don't need a platform to speak. You just need a pulse, my friends. Just a pulse to be able to declare to the goodness and the courage that comes through the resurrection of the dead. Some of us need to speak. Some of us need to step out. Boldness isn't a personality. It's proximity to the risen Christ. Resurrection people, time to step out. Thirdly, there's holiness. Our world doesn't deny sin, but it definitely does reframe it or rename it or normalize it or therapize it. We baptize it in language, you know, that makes it feel harmless or small. But if the resurrection is true, forgiveness isn't the only possibility. Actually, transformation is. You're not just forgiven, you're free. Grace doesn't just cover sin, but it actually breaks sin's power. So some of us need to take off the grave clothes, you know? Take off the old outfit. Doesn't suit you anymore. You weren't born for that life. You're born for new resurrection life. Time to dress yourself figuratively, as it were, in the resurrection of Jesus. Fourthly and finally, and we're coming to the end now, the resurrection gives us a mission. You know, like I said before about we've never been so comfortable and we're still so anxious. Well, the same is true for options, right? How many, we've never had more options, but we've never been more meaningless. We've, like, there's so many things you could do. And there's so many things you could do, it almost becomes paralyzing. You know when you've only got two choices, it's pretty easy because you have to just pick one. But when you've got like 10,000 choices, it's just like, I don't know where to start. So people are asking, what am I here for? And does anything matter? And the resurrection answers yes. Because Jesus is alive. The world is not random. History is not circular. And your life is not insignificant. Because Jesus is alive, there is a pinnacle to human history. Something that everyone was looking towards and now something that everyone looks back from that says God is doing something with history. He's named elsewhere as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the bookends to all of history, and he's doing something with it. And your life has a purpose and a plan inside of that story that God is writing. And resurrection says it's so. If Jesus is risen, it means that nothing you do in your life for him is wasted. Even if you feel like they were a waste. If Jesus is risen, it means that there is new life beyond that failed thing, and it means that nothing you do is wasted. Everything is redeemed. Everything has its place. You know, if you're a believer today, I want to tell you something. You're a Sunday person living in a Friday world. Well, the world's walking around and it's all like, oh, I think this is over. I think this is the end. You're a Sunday person. You're the person who's just been at the tomb and gone, guess what, guys? It's all good. Yeah? You're there to be able to give testimony to and witness to the fact that, yes, life is hard. Yes, life is challenging. Yes, things are tough. And death is not the end. Death is not the end. You carry the evidence of that in your workplace, in your family, in your friendships. You carry the evidences that death is not the end. You're a Sunday person in a Friday world. Some of you believe in resurrection, but you're living like it didn't happen. And the invitation of Easter isn't just believe this. The invitation of Easter is come alive. Come alive. And so I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we bring this time to a close. In a minute, we're going to sing. We're going to declare the goodness, the mercy, the mighty power of God. But guys, the resurrection, you need to know, is not just an ancient event. It's the center of reality. It means Jesus is alive now. He's ruling and reigning, and he's actually present with us. He's present. He's here. It's that old Hebrew word, Emmanuel, which means God with us. He's with us. He's here. And so it's time to respond, to trust, to hope, and to live as resurrection people. And so I do want to give an opportunity today. If you want to live as a resurrection person, maybe this is for the very first time. I know so many people come to church on Easter because, you know, it's the best time. And I'll tell you what, it is the best time for you to be here. And every week we have people who come to Discovery Church who don't know who the person of Jesus is, or faith is new to them, or they're not really sure about the claims of Jesus, or they haven't got it figured all out. And that's so good. You are so welcome here. If this is your first time here, you are so welcome. We love the fact that you were able to come today. And, you know, Lord bless you and whoever invited you. Man, so good. And we want you to leave today knowing that death is not the end, and that there is something new to live for. And so can we all pray together? Risen Lord Jesus, you've conquered sin and death. Heavenly Father, you raised your Son in glory. And Spirit, you've breathed life where there was only death. I pray today for every single person within the sound of my voice, Lord God, raise us with Christ that we may walk in newness of life until the day we too are raised. Yes, while we're all praying, if you want to give your life to Jesus today for the very first time, you raise your hand just so I can see it. Just pop your hand up so I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Awesome. Thank you. Come on. Father, we thank you for these ones. We thank you, Jesus, that the resurrection is not just an event, but something that we step into. We thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life, that you died and you rose again, that we too can walk in newness of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's see.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.